Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Solid. I'm your host, Soraya. And in today's episode, I'm going to be discussing the best and worst books that I've read recently. So I'm going to kick it off on a good note and start with one of the best books I read recently. And I want to preface this by saying when I say recently, I mean any time in the last, like, 6 to 8 months, because it's been a rough couple of months. I haven't read as much as I want to, so I'm trying to give myself a little more wiggle room in terms of the word recently. So first on the list is Win Me Something by Kyle Lucia Wu. And this book tells the story of Willa. And Willa is a biracial Chinese American woman who grew up in New Jersey. So this book really explores her sense of identity as she's been growing up, where she always felt like she was too much of one thing or not enough of another. She felt very unseen in her family life because both her parents divorced and both remarried and had other children. And now she is in her mid-20s, kind of coming of age, and she begins working for a wealthy white family as a nanny. And it just kind of follows this journey of self-exploration and understanding. And oh my goodness, was it so, so good. So if you enjoy books that are a little bit more character-driven as opposed to plot-driven, this is 100% a book for you. I loved Willa's journey throughout this book and like her introspection, and the way that Kyle was able to capture so many of these feelings of like feeling like you don't belong within your own life or your own space, or the self-doubt that we all feel. I just felt like it was entirely relatable, and Willa was written so well. Like I wanted to talk to her. I wanted her to leap through the page and be friends with her and kind of get to, it felt like a privilege to get to like go on this journey with her. It actually, funny enough, really reminded me of Such a Fun Age in certain regards, just in terms of like this feeling like you're floundering in your mid-20s and you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to figure it all out, and both characters being nannies, and there's a lot of like aspects about their ethnicity and their identity that are coming into play. And it really reminded me of it. The characters couldn't be more different in terms of their personality, but it kind of gave me that similar vibe. And as you know, if you've been listening for a while, we covered Such a Fun Age in season 1 and really enjoyed it. And so I feel like that just set me up to love this book even more. So I highly recommend, I guess I could say it has like slight Sally Rooney vibes, which I'm always really hesitant to compare anything to Sally Rooney because I feel like everything is compared to Sally Rooney now, but it does have that like very character focused storyline or plot line. And I love it. Couldn't recommend it enough. I got it through Book of the Month, which I have my own qualms about Book of the Month and can make another episode about. But this is one of the few I've gotten through Book of the Month that I've actually really, really enjoyed. So they hit the nail on the head with this one. Moving into a book I did not like, When We Were Bright and Beautiful by Jillian Medoff, I hope I'm saying her name correctly. Now this book follows a wealthy family, the Quins, mainly the middle child, Cassie Quinn, and her brother is accused of sexually assaulting his ex-girlfriend. And it follows the trial and the aftermath in their family. And I was intrigued by this book mostly because I thought it was going to be a confrontation of wealth and privilege and all of the ways in which that makes you complicit. And I thought it was going to be like kind of this very deep and compelling story. And that's just not at all what we got. And I actually wrote a review for this that I was going to post on our Instagram, and I sent it to my mom, and I asked her, like, is this too harsh? And she was like, if it's how you feel, it's how you feel. And I ended up not posting it because I felt like I wrote it right after I finished the book when I was very, very frustrated, and I was going to eviscerate it. But I'm going to read it here instead of posting on Instagram. So the review said, this is a no from me. This book, where do I even begin? When I read the synopsis, I thought it would be an examination of wealth, class, and privilege, and how extreme wealth and privilege often go hand in hand with complicity. I hoped each of these characters would be forced to reckon with their actions and choices and take responsibility for how their family ended up where it did. And instead, this book largely served as an excuse for the behaviors of these characters because of their wealth and status. There are no consequences, self-reflection, or growth within any of the characters, but there was a healthy dose of microaggressions, misogyny, and victim blaming sprinkled in with nothing meaningful to show for it. And what I mean by that is, like, a character says or does something that's racist, and another character says, like, oh my gosh, like, you can't say that. And then that's where it ends. Like, no, it's just, that's it. Like, it's just kind of like virtue signaling and nothing else to show. So this book had a lot of potential, but it left me feeling really gross and upset. There's this quote twist near the end of the book that I kind of saw coming, but I hoped sincerely that I was wrong. And unfortunately I wasn't. Very, very disturbing. And I saw a lot of 4- and 5-star reviews for this book that I was having difficulty understanding, honestly, because, like, as soon as I finished this book, I wanted it out of my collection. I was like, I'm donating this. I don't even want this around. And I'm just wondering what people read that I or saw that I didn't see, because it just felt like it didn't deliver on what I feel like the synopsis promised. And ultimately, I was just very disappointed. So if you do plan to read this book, I would be sure to look at the trigger warnings, because there are some very, very intense themes. And it's definitely not going to be for everyone. And having read it and finished it, I can tell you it definitely wasn't for me. The only reason I finished it was because I kept hoping it would, like, make up for itself somehow and get better. And I fell into the sunk cost fallacy with this one, because that just was not going to happen. Okay, so jumping into a little nonfiction here, which I feel like I hardly ever talk about nonfiction on this channel, but I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. I know everyone has seen this book kind of all over the place. I'm super late in giving my opinion on it, but it's a book I read recently, and so I feel like, you know, I should include it. I really, really, it feels weird to say enjoyed this book, or like that it was a good book. I mean, it was excellently written, but in terms of the content matter, I don't want to like be like, oh, this was such a like good book. I just loved it so much. Because the things that she went through it was very, breathtaking and eye-opening, and her vulnerability and her humor even and self-reflection was just incredible. Like, I was astounded throughout the entire book. She has such a gift, and I'm so, like, happy for her and the progress she's made through that journey, and I'm grateful to her for sharing this book with all of us, because I think there's a lot of things that people can relate to, and validating people's experiences with their family. Like, I've heard her say this a lot in interviews, but there's no guarantee, like, just because someone's your parent doesn't necessarily mean they were a good one. And so I just am so appreciative of like everything that she has put out there and sharing this story with all of us, because it was very impactful to me and I really enjoyed it. And I was actually, side note, super judged by, or hardcore judged by the person at Barnes & Noble when I bought it. Two people, actually, because I had my eye on this book for a while. And I know that sometimes, even though like books always come out on Tuesdays, but sometimes bookstores will put them out a couple days early. So it was the Monday before that's supposed to come out. I go to Barnes & Noble, I'm looking for it everywhere and I don't see it. And I was with my boyfriend and I was like, can you go ask them for this book? Because I didn't want to say the title to them. I don't know why I cared. And he was like, no, consider this a learning moment. So I had to go ask, and I like gave her the title and she was like, Glad? And I was like, yeah, like that's what it's called. She went, she found it, brought it for me. Then I went to the front to go pay for it, and the woman checking me out goes, I'm glad my mom died, like reading the title. She's like, "Woof, I won't ask." And I'm like, listen, please just like check me out and let me leave. I don't need this like silent judgment from everyone. The gag is the book ended up doing incredibly well. And so it's like, perhaps I was one of the first people to buy it at that store because it hadn't officially come out yet. But I just hope in the coming weeks they were just like, oh, okay. Like, I see. So anyway, a random aside, but I was definitely judged when I went to go pick it up. Now, flipping back. So, another book I did not enjoy, The Paper Palace by Miranda Cowley Heller. So, this book, the more I thought about it, the less and less I liked it. I think when I finished it, I gave it like a 3 on Storygraph. It was a Reese's Book Club pick, and it follows a woman who is vacationing with her family. And she had a childhood best friend who they were both kind of in love with each other, but never acted on it. And they're all vacationing together now in the present. I think they're all in their mid-50s. And there was a romantic encounter between she and her best friend while her husband was inside. And so it tells the story of this main character and her best friend in the present and their journey and her life in the past. So I was really interested in the concept of this. I love time jump stories or like parallel timeline stories, but it just kind of missed the mark. I feel like there were a lot of very triggering things in the book, but not necessarily for like a quote good reason. Like they were just there to be there, which I honestly wasn't expecting some of it. And that was really hard to read. Just because there are things that happen that are pretty intense. I didn't fully understand the main character. Like, I didn't ever really connect with her, which is fine. You know, you don't have to have a main character who's likable necessarily, but I never even connected with her really in any way. I don't know. I'm just like so perplexed on this one that I can't even fully articulate how I felt about it. It was just very middle of the road with some unnecessary themes thrown in that weren't really explored. It felt like they were just thrown in there very superficially to add like drama and tension and shock factor, I guess is my biggest complaint. And I didn't really feel like there was anything particularly spectacular or breathtaking about it. It was just like a book that was there and I read. So that's my 2 cents on that one. Okay, and lastly, a book that I really loved was We Are Okay by Nina LaCour. Now, I have never read any Nina LaCour before. I have some of her other books like Yerba Buena that just came out, and Watch Over Me is one I've always wanted to read, and I actually just recently bought. This was so good. I read it in one night. I think I stayed up till like 2 or 3 a.m., and it tells the story of Marin, and it's alluded to that she and her best friend had some sort of falling out. Like there was some kind of inciting traumatic incident before she left for college, and she hasn't seen or spoken, I can't even remember because it's been a minute since I read this, to her best friend since then, and she hasn't told anyone what's happened that led to that either. So again, this is another parallel timeline book where it follows her best friend coming to visit her in the present and what happened in the past that led to them being where they are. And this book, like, I feel like it pulled at every emotion in my body. It was heartbreaking, it was gut-wrenching, it was beautiful, it was happy and sad. And this is another one that made me choke up because what Marin's going through, it deals with grief and the complex emotions that come with that. And she's also kind of dealing with like I would call it a depression with the things that have happened to her, you know, before the book started. And the way Nina LaCour has written about it, it felt so visceral. And like you were experiencing and feeling everything that Marin is right alongside her. And it was just so, so touching. And another one that's hard for me to put into words, just how special it was, because it just felt like everything. It was so good. Like I had to stay up all night to finish it. I immediately gave it 5 stars and it made me want to pick up all of her other novels, which is why I now have them in my collection and haven't yet read them because like I said, I'm horrible at reading things in a timely fashion, but this is another kind of coming of age type story. That's a theme with me for sure. I love coming of age type books, and this one fits that mold so well. And the journey that Marin takes throughout the story and her friendship with Mabel and seeing how their relationship evolves in the past and in the present and the way it all comes like full circle at the end. I think it was just a very realistic book. It doesn't like sugarcoat emotions and how we process trauma and grief. It showed it in a very real way, but not in a way that makes you feel robbed of all hope. It felt incredibly realistic. And I could never say enough good things about this book. I am so grateful that I read it, and I would recommend it to anyone. So again, this is another one you may want to look at trigger warnings for. They're not as, I would say, severe as When We Were Bright and Beautiful or The Paper Palace, but there are some things that are a little bit heavier. So I would look at trigger warnings for that for sure. But of all of the books that I talked about in this, of the ones I loved, We Are Okay is probably my favorite. So good. So that rounds out the list. I will probably continue doing these as I continue reading things, because there's always going to be books that I love and books that I do not. And actually, I don't know if I mentioned this any other point in the episode, but all of the ones I talked about loving in this episode were like 5-star reads. Like when I say love them, I mean loved them, would recommend them 110%. So yeah, I would love to know what some of your recent 5-star reads were. Please feed my book buying addiction. Also, equally interested in ones you didn't enjoy. I always think that's super fascinating to me, just to see, like, are there things that other people talk about not liking that I also not liked, or is there something I loved that someone else didn't like? Everyone's tastes are just so different in terms of what we're looking for. So yeah, please let me know over on Instagram, or email me at booksolidpodcast@gmail.com, and I will see you in our next episode.